everything you know will change.
Like to have everybody's attention for a moment.
You the man.
What's that mean? You the man.
And now, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, now all of a sudden you're stepping up to the next level of competition.
All right, listen up.
Welcome to The Rundown. Here's Desmond Johnson.
It's Saturday. It is Saturday, Sports Hub fans, and you know what that means. Welcome to The Rundown, an actual sunny Saturday morning for a change. It feels like it's always raining when we walk in here. The madness has arrived. First round of the NCAA tournament is complete. We'll look at the three ACC one seeds, Virginia, Duke, and North Carolina. Can all three make it to Minnesota for the Final Four? And is Zion Williamson a lock for the first pick in the NBA draft? Mike Trout signs the biggest contract in the history of North American sports and more. This is The Rundown. I am your host, Desmond Johnson. I am joined by John Olszewski, Haskell Shelton in the house from SportsCarolinaMonthly.com. Sawyer Dillon is our producer extraordinaire and intern Aaron Manning, our social media. Our question for the day, and you can go to Sports Hub Triad right now and vote on this poll. Do you want to see basically basketball Armageddon, in my opinion, North Carolina versus Duke Part 4 in the national championship game? Fellas, I can't remember a year where the national media has attached themselves to this idea that North Carolina and Duke should meet one more time in the national championship game. It feels like this year it's been hyped even more so by, A, the fact that Duke has Godzilla on their team and Zion Williamson, and he missed the first two. The script kind of writes itself.
Who is this Zion guy you're talking about?
And then Carolina's not bad either. So I think the ACC semifinal game, if I'm not mistaken, was the highest rated ESPN basketball game like in the past like 10 years or something crazy. And the first matchup in Cameron was the highest rated basketball game of this season, even with Zion only being in 30 seconds of it. So I get it from a perspective of them wanting to spotlight that, but they've never met in the tournament before. I don't know if they ever will. I don't know if I ever want them to. So we'll get into that a little bit too. But first, a little business to get out of the way here. You want to see the Carolina Thunderbirds at the Annex. You're running out of time. I think they only have one or two home sets left. We still have about 30 tickets left at SportsCarolinaMonthly.com that you can purchase for only $5. These are the $9 value seats. Go to the website, SportsCarolinaMonthly.com. Click on the Thunderbirds ticket special at the top of the homepage. Get your vouchers. Enjoy hockey action in the Triad. You can pick them up here at the studios for WSJS. And then also, our good buddy Marcus Shockley, he is the owner of the Winston-Salem Wolves, the semi-pro basketball team in the East Coast Basketball League. This is their first season. March 30th is college night. College students get in free with college ID. They play the Carolina Chosen Lions from Rocky Mount. That's 5 p.m. at Forsyth Country Day School. Our very own Rod Funderburk is actually the announcer there. I actually do play-by-play for them for Netcast Sports, and he will teach the people how to do the wolf howl if you show up. So WSWolves.com for ticket information. He really gets into it, too.
Oh,
yes,
I don't doubt that.
Sports Carolina Monthly, we will have discount tickets all season long for home games for the Wolves. I believe we'll have those starting next week. They are 3-0 in the Northeast Division. They have multiple all-star candidates, including local talent Laprise Lynch, who played at Mount Tabor, Zalinor Banks, who played at Glenn, and Antonio Robinson, who played at Parkland. They're all on the squad. And I got a chance to see them last Saturday. I went out and called their game against a team from South Carolina, and they're actually pretty good. So we'll give you some information on that here coming up as well, too. Fellas, let's get into these NCAA results. My bracket is pretty much bleeding. I only have five of my Elite Eight, I think, left standing. I only did two brackets this year. Let's start off with Virginia. Man, we were on the air yesterday while that was going on, and I don't know if it would have been good or bad for the ACC if Virginia lost again like this, but we were for it. We were here for it watching it. We were rooting for Gardner Webb to pull it off, but
they were being totally outplayed in that first
game. They were.
And I mean, it was just like last year. I'm thinking Is this team going to blow them out by 20 points?
Gardner Webb was not even the best team in the Big South for most of
That's
the season.
That's scarier.
Wow. I mean, so they ended up winning 71-56. They'll move on to play Oklahoma tomorrow. And they're the one seed in the South. I think they were the second overall one. And their bracket's starting to clear up a little bit. Wisconsin lost to Oregon yesterday, the 12.
And I said last week, I said as long as UVA gets by this weekend, and now they got Oklahoma, and I bet you they win by 20 points.
Oklahoma played
but
great.
But they did.
They played well.
They put a 95 spot up, too.
95-72
in Ole Miss. UVA is going to shut that right down. Mm-hmm. If they can get by Oklahoma, I got Virginia winning it all anyway.
Wow.
But it was this first weekend that they were going to have the most difficult time with, just getting over it, you know, through their heads and everything. Because I tell you what, Tony Bennett is probably one of the smoothest coaches on the sidelines besides like a Jay Wright or whatever. But and Jay Wright does not sweat. How does he not sweat during a game? At the end of the game, they're interviewing him. Not even nothing on his forehead or anything, and he's got the full vest, the whole suit. You know, of course, a $10,000 suit on.
He's got like a Pat Riley thing going on.
He does. But back to Tony. He looked nervous in that first half. I think the whole team was kind of – that's why it was happening.
They were tight. Yeah, they were pretty tight. You could tell about halfway through the first half that Virginia was really – they kept shooting threes, and they weren't hitting them. And usually Virginia's a pretty good three-point shooting team, and Gardner Webb was hitting. They were hitting everything they threw up, really.
And rebounded.
Yeah, and rebounding. And then they just kind of – Virginia just kind of punched them in the face coming in, you know, second half, which I kind of would expect from, you know, a team as good as Virginia. They just got caught on the wrong night last year, and they didn't have DeAndre Hunter last year. And DeAndre Hunter came out and showed why he might be a top five NBA draft pick after this is all said and done. 336-777-1600 is the number to dial if you are wanting to chime in on any of the topics we have for today. Moving off of Virginia, let's talk a little bit about Duke, because Duke and Carolina were both in action. For some reason, they had 3-1 seeds playing all last night. Or yesterday, instead of spreading them out.
And they were all down at halftime.
They were all three of them were down at halftime.
That's what makes this tournament. Even just those halftime scores makes that tournament just so special, man. I mean, these 16 seeds, giving them a battle. And you knew it wasn't going to happen. I mean, you really did. But
I had a brief moment of panic for the Carolina game, because it wasn't like they were playing bad. It was just like, I don't know, just that's the biggest Achilles heel for Carolina the past 3 years. If they come across a team that can hit a bunch of threes, like if a guard gets real hot, Wofford, when we played Wofford 2 years ago, Fletcher McGee got hot in Dean Dome, and that's usually our Achilles heel. But I don't know, it just felt like Iona was going to run out of gas eventually. And I think this year in particular with Carolina, I've always felt like if we just play the way we normally play, eventually our possessions will catch up to you. And we'll eventually go past you. And that's kind of what happened last night. Cam Johnson and Luke May all year coming out of halftime, they've been like the triggers in the second half. Usually it's Cam Johnson. He'll hit the first couple shots in the second half, and then Carolina starts to hit a run, and that's what they did last night. Duke played about the way I thought they would. They started out kind of slow. People forget this is a team full of freshmen. They're the third youngest team in the whole country behind Maryland and Kentucky, I think.
Yep.
They've never been in this situation before. They were actually in a tight game until Zion decided to play harder defense, I guess, in the second half.
Well, he started the second half. Then he scored the first 10 out of the first
something crazy. Like he scored like the first 11 points, and then he sparks their defense. I noticed that, and I've noticed the past couple of weeks, because they didn't have it when he was out those 2 weeks where – He'll do something defensively that gets them going, and when they start running, then that's when they make these runs. They are not a typical Duke team that can get hot from like three and go on like a 12-0 run off of four shots or whatever. They have to force you to give up the ball, and then they got to run and see themselves dunking on you or, you know, whatever, and that gets them all hype, and then that's when they start to snowball. But that it's one thing to do it against who was Duke playing last night? I totally forgot. It's one thing to do it against the 16 seed.
North Dakota State.
Thank you very much, Sawyer.
The Bison.
It's one thing to do it against them. It's another thing to do it against the 2 seed, which is Michigan State over in that area. And I'll be honest, man, I don't really trust Michigan State.
Hey, I mean, they struggled too. I mean,
a lot of the top seeds did, looking on it here. We got Ed on the line. He wants to talk about the 1 seeds out of Winston-Salem. Ed, you're on the line with the rundown.
Yeah, guys, really a tale of two halves last night for Carolina. They shot 33% the first half, gave up 10 big threes, and the second half they came alive and shot 63%. I'm going to go ahead and give you my final four. I don't know if you guys have given yours or not. I've got Tennessee knocking off Virginia, moving forward. I've got Carolina taking care of Kentucky on that side. And then I've got Gonzaga over Texas Tech and Duke moving on over Michigan State. I've got Gonzaga taking out Duke. I've got Carolina taking out Tennessee and Carolina winning it all.
So you got a rematch in your bracket, yeah. Gonzaga and Carolina.
Yeah, a rematch. And hopefully Carolina now, Washington. I don't know if you guys got to see any of that game. I got to see part of it. And they've got some good I think they shot 50-some percent from the three and 50 from the field and 80-some percent. So they've got a good shooting team. But if we play two good, you know, halves, I think Carolina will take them out. And I'll take it off the air, please.
Great. Thanks, Ed.
That's my boy coaching Washington is Mike Hopkins. He was under Boeheim for he played for Boeheim, and then he was assistant for like 14 or 15 years, and he was the coach in waiting. Those 3 or 4 years that Boeheim said he was going to retire. Remember about 3 or 4 years ago, Boeheim said he was going to retire when a couple other things were happening. And finally, he took that Washington job. This Mike Hopkins, since he took the Washington job, he's been there 2 years. He's Coach of the Year, Pac-12, and both years. And then he just signed some 8-year extension for about $3 or $4 million per year now.
That's a pretty good spot for them. Are your final four still intact right now?
Yes.
Who I don't know if we ever mentioned who our final four our picks were, because we didn't have the brackets when we were on last week. So
I'll give you my final game. My final game is going to be Virginia versus Michigan.
It's going to be like watching two teams playing in like a mud pit.
Yep. That game will be in the 40s.
And then I really do have. If they get past this weekend, I got Virginia winning the whole damn thing.
Oh, okay. What was your final four, Haskell?
I like it. Well, in the WSJS sports bracket pool, I am in fourth place currently.
Hey.
Really? Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Watch out now.
I've got Michigan, Michigan State. And although I agree with you, I don't trust Michigan State. I just couldn't pick Duke. Didn't have the heart to do it. So I went with the statistical next best choice, I guess. And then I've got Tennessee. And in the bottom half, I've got Carolina. So I've got Michigan-Tennessee national championship.
Shout out to Colgate University giving Tennessee all they could handle yesterday.
I have mine are still intact. I have Virginia coming out of the East, although I don't feel good about it. But looking at the East, I don't see a team that should give them problems. I have Carolina coming out of the Midwest. And actually, I have Wofford beating Kentucky today.
I do too.
Could happen.
They don't have PJ Washington. He's in a cast. And if Wofford just hits 40% from three, which they can easily do on anyone at this point, I think Wofford can make it to the Sweet 16.
They can. And like you said, Kentucky's a young team, especially with PJ Washington.
On the other side, I have Michigan actually coming out of that bracket. I have them beating Florida State, actually. And then I have Duke coming out of the South. I have Michigan beating Duke, and I have Carolina beating Virginia. I have Carolina winning the whole thing over Michigan.
I can't believe it.
You know, the one thing I will – with the Michigan picks, which have been far more popular than what I thought they would be as a Michigan fan, is that they went 0-3 against Michigan State, and nobody's really brought that up. But you saw that from the regular season, they definitely got better in the Big Ten tournament. They played Michigan State, the closest that they've played. And then even in the first game against Montana, which probably nobody on the East Coast was even up at 9:40 watching that, except for me and three other people. But they played outstanding in that game, and that was they were back to Michigan basketball. And it's like, here we go again.
They impressed me at the beginning of the year to blow out this Carolina team the way they did, and then Carolina turned out the way they did. Granted, it was in November, and granted, it was at Chrysler Arena. It was in Michigan. It was a true road game early in the year. And Michigan could not miss in that game, and Carolina could not hit the side of a barn. So it snowballed out into this blowout. But Michigan's got the second-ranked defense in the country. And for me, especially this time of the year, experience matters. They were in the national championship game last year. They basically have the same team without Mo Wagner, who's on the Lakers bench right now.
Yeah.
But everyone, Charles Matthews, all those kids, they're all back. and they have the experience. Like the team, this is the time of the year where the teams with experience typically get further.
They do.
Look, the past 3 years, Villanova, Carolina, Villanova. I mean, those were like senior or upperclassmen heavy teams that had been through it, had won things, had won conference championships, had won big games, had been on the big platforms. You usually don't see a freshman heavy one and done team get all the way to the Final Four unless they've got seniors or someone on their roster. I think 2015 Duke's probably the last one we saw that got all the way to the end, and that team had a senior Quinn Cook at point guard and a sophomore Mill Jefferson playing. I mean,
a senior point guard. I mean,
that's
a lot.
They don't win that without Quinn Cook, in my opinion. I've said that from the jump. But this is different. This is a Duke team that is top heavy. Their top four players are all freshmen. Bolden and Delarier are not they're not the post guys that you're going to like dump it into to get a bucket. They're kind of like cleanup guys to me, and they hold down that bottom part of the paint defensively. And then like you get guys like Alex O'Connell made an appearance last night. Joey Baker showed up last night and played a couple minutes.
He
did. I don't understand what they're doing with Joey Baker, but
he's probably transferring. No.
Now my thought was, well, it won't matter if he's burning a redshirt year, if he's not going to be there 4 years anyway. It won't really matter in the end.
Exactly.
But then I'm watching, I'm like, is he going to, why would he, I don't see him leaving early. Like he seems like he's going to be a full 3-4 year guy.
That's why it probably wasn't a big deal for him to burn the red shirt.
Probably not. They're saying now that it was all his idea and everything else. I'm like, nothing in that program is the player's idea. Yeah, like none of that came
from
him.
Coach K's fault.
336-777-1600 is the number to call. If you want to chime in, let's get Wayne on the line here. He wants to talk about a guy we're actually going to talk about here in the next segment, and that is Mr. Ja Morant from Murray State, who he put the nation on notice the other day. Wayne, you're on the line with the Rundown.
Hi, guys. Hope you all are doing well.
Yeah, man, doing good. How are you?
Great. I had never seen Morehead State all season, and I was just mesmerized by this Ja Morant. I mean, I guess my question for you is, he the second best player in the country behind Williamson, and where do you see him as a pro? Maybe I'm overreacting to one showing on this guy, but have any of you seen him more, and what do you think his future is?
Yes. No, thanks for the call, Wayne. We've seen him a little bit throughout the year.
Absolutely.
I mean,
they hit him on a couple times.
He's been on the radars all year long. Now, he has catapulted himself up the mock draft boards to, at this point, after the game on Thursday that he had, first triple-double NCAA tournament in quite a while. Draymond Green, at Michigan State. They got him at the number two pick right behind Zion, but actually that's a great call to segue into what we're going to be talking about next, which is our barbershop talk conversation. If you're the worst team in the NBA and you're the GM of it, you received the first overall pick in the 2019 NBA draft, who would you pick, Zion Williamson or Ja Morant? And honestly, the answer might not be as clear as it was a few weeks ago. Plus, we're going to take a look at two UNC freshmen. Nasir Little had a little game last night. He scored, I think, 19 points, played very well. And Coby White has catapulted himself into the lottery in a lot of mock drafts now. Should they stay or should they go? 336-777-1600 is the number to call or chime in with us on Twitter at Sports Hub Triad. Also, I've got a pair of Hornets tickets I want to give away. Let's do that now. So let's fill up the phone lines. All you have to do is answer a trivia question from intern Aaron. 336-777-1600. These are tickets for this week, I believe. Aaron, what's the date on those? It's the 26th, I think. Is that Wednesday?
Correct. No, it's a Tuesday. March the 26th.
This Tuesday against the San Antonio Spurs at the Spectrum Center. You can watch Kemba Walker and the Hornets. We've got a pair of tickets, so light up the phone lines now. 336-777-1600. We'll get to that question, and we'll also get to Barbershop Talk next on The Rundown.
Okay, let's go.
You're listening to The Rundown with Desmond Johnson.
Barbershop Talk brought to you by Javeline Express Lube of Kernersville. Their service facility is independently owned and operated by Mac Allen, providing full service repair and maintenance services. They use the latest diagnostic equipment to guarantee your vehicle is repaired or serviced properly and in a timely fashion. Mac and his team pride themselves on commitment to the local community and providing value-driven service in an inviting, friendly environment. Go see Mac at Haviland Express Lube of Kernersville for all your automotive maintenance needs. This is The Rundown. I'm your host, Desmond Johnson. Johnny O, Haskell Shelton in the house. Needed to mention, Rod Funderburk is on assignment in Las Vegas this weekend with some buddies, so we'll... I think he was volunteering to call in.
That Rod's got the life, man.
He does, man. He's just out trouncing around the world, really. But he'll be back next week. Let's go ahead and try to get these Hornet tickets out of here. Let's put Tim from Gibsonville on first. Tim, all I need you to do is answer a simple trivia question from intern Aaron regarding the Hornets. Do we lose Tim? No, Tim? Tim, are you there? No Tim then. All right, moving on. PJ in Winston-Salem. You lucked out, man. Tim decided to just give up on it. PJ, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Hey, man. So welcome to The Rundown. You got a chance to win a pair of tickets to see the Hornets versus the San Antonio Spurs this Tuesday night at the Spectrum Center. All you have to do is answer a trivia question from intern Aaron, and you win the tickets. So without further ado, intern Aaron.
All right, PJ. For a chance to see the Charlotte Hornets take on the San Antonio Spurs this Tuesday, who is the Hornets' all-time assist leader?
Kemba Walker.
Sorry, man.
Think older.
Yeah. We got Avery on the line in Burlington. Avery, are you there?
Yeah, man, I'm here. What's going on?
Hey, man, welcome to The Rundown. So, like I said before, all you have to do is answer a simple trivia question from intern Aaron. You win a pair of tickets to see the Hornets versus the Spurs Tuesday night at the Spectrum Center. Aaron, what you got, man?
All right, Avery, for a chance to win two tickets to see the Spurs and Hornets square off on Tuesday, give me two of this year's three leading scorers for the Hornets.
Three leading scorers for the Hornets.
Just give me two.
Yeah, I only need two.
Two of the three. So, I mean, you got to go with Kemba because that would be a no-brainer. And if I had to pick a guess in second, I'd go between Jeremy Lamb or, I mean, let's go with the Rook, Miles Bridges.
Wait, you got to pick one.
One of the two? Oh, come on.
You gave two there.
Let's go with Jeremy Lamb.
All right.
I was worried for you there
winner,
for a second.
Winner, chicken dinner.
They'll get your information in the control room, and congratulations to you, Avery.
Awesome, guys. Thank y'all so much. I love the show. Appreciate you guys, and keep doing what y'all do. Thank you so much.
Thank you, man. Thanks for being a listener to The Rundown, and they'll get you hooked up in there. Let's get into this barbershop talk, because I've been wondering about this ever since I got a chance to watch John Morant the other day. Matter of fact, who has the number one pick currently right now in the NBA draft? Because that might determine this question. Basically, it's a simple question. Whoa. Who would you take with the first pick of the NBA draft, Zion or Ja?
Right. My answer is not going to change whatever team it is. Zion is the number one pick. There's no way a team can pass on him. That's like passing on when Michael Jordan got passed on. But
Zambui. Me and Aaron were talking about that.
This Ja Morant is he's my favorite player now, man. I mean, and I did get to watch him during the season a couple times. ESPN did cover him. He looked just as good during the season as he did. You know, I mean, he's been doing this all year.
Yeah.
But he was just on the big stage the other day, and I love that people got to see him play.
He is
smooth. I mean, and he is ready for the NBA. He's got good size. He's like 6'3", 6'4". Mm-hmm. I'm trying to compare him with somebody. I hate comparing him, but, I mean, I'm going to say a little – I mean, there is a little of Russell Westbrook. Yep.
That's the
no
main
doubt
one
about
I've heard
it.
Is Russell Westbrook.
Who else? I mean, who else?
Iverson. A little
yeah,
bit.
Yeah, he's a scorer. Because I've seen him score 35 points. You know, yeah, I mean, he can score when he needs to.
He has jumped to number two on most mock drafts. Here's my question, though. Right now in New York, the Knicks have the number one pick. Now, I don't know.
So that's Zion.
I don't know if that's going to change or not. Yeah, if the Knicks have it, then they need to get Zion. That's a no-brainer. Zion Williamson, New York, that's money. They've got some parts, I guess, but at that point, it really wouldn't matter. I mean, if you have Zion, you have like a key for the next 15 Absolutely. Years that you can attract a Kyrie Irving.
In New York, New York. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Zion, what a
in
marketing.
That's
oh
ridiculous.
My gosh, it would be incredible.
Here's the difference, though. Let's say Phoenix gets the number one pick.
Yeah.
Should they take Ja Morant over Zion? because they have DeAndre Ayton down in the paint already. Do you put Zion and Ayton together?
Yeah.
That's like a Lonzo Mourning, Larry Johnson type of duo type again, I guess.
That worked pretty good, didn't it?
Well, until it didn't.
I love Devin Booker. That would be a great combo.
Devin Booker's on that team. Oh, man, Morant and Booker in the backcourt with Ayton.
It's a no-brainer. Actually,
they've got some talent on that team, too. Josh Jackson plays on that team. He played at Kansas that one year.
Oh, and, yeah.
They've got a couple of guys. They're kind of like Sacramento a little bit. They're not very good, but they've got a lot of young talent. I think the best case scenario would be New York getting the first pick. They pick Zion. Phoenix has the second pick, and they go, oh, no, we didn't get a chance to pick Zion. I guess we'll have to pick Ja Morant instead. And then he goes there. Boy, R.J. Barrett goes to Cleveland, and, you know.
I know the question is Zion or Morant, but are we forgetting about Barrett? Are you kidding me?
I'm not. I've always said R.J. Barrett reminds me of Tracy McGrady. He's a scorer. That's what he's going to be in the pros. I think he's going to score just like Tracy McGrady would. They're kind of built the same. Their game is similar. They're slashers. R.J. can shoot it a little bit, but I think he'll get better in the pros. McGrady was the same way. I could see Barrett scoring 50 points in an NBA game.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like that's the best comparison to me to R.J., and I think he's right about where he should be. He's been the most consistent player on Duke's team all year, if you really look at it. He hadn't been hurt. He's played in all the games. He started them all. I think he's their leading scorer.
Not that your question wasn't a great question, because you do one hell of a job setting the show up.
Well, I mean, I saw people talking about it.
I think the question should have been, who's going to be the number two pick, Ja Morant or
that might be a better
Barrett.
Question then. Let's do that then. At this point, you know, the more I thought about it, yeah, Zion's going to go first. He has proven that.
And it's the whole marketing thing, you know, everything, besides his incredible talent.
Well, I do just want to go contrarian pick there since I'm over here in the three hole. But, you know, when you look at these Ja's stats compared to Zion, Ja, 24.4 points a game, 5.7 rebounds, 10.2 assists a game.
That is beautiful.
Wow.
I mean, the guy's averaging a double-double. And in college with assists, it's scoring at 24 and then he's setting up another 10 buckets.
Yeah.
Zion's at 22 points a game, 8.7 rebounds a game, and 2 assists a game. I think one of the things that's ultimately going to affect some of the draft order here is Murray State needs to win another game for him to get in the conversation about being the number one pick. The nation needs to see him one more time.
They're playing Florida State, I believe, right?
It is Florida State.
And I tell you what, you mentioned assists, and we were talking about it off the air. His team is finishing. That means he's getting unbelievable passing, but that team is a pretty good team, and I think they will give Florida State a hell of a game.
I'd love to see Gonzaga Murray State in the next round. That sounds like fun to me. If they can get there, that'd be Sweet 16.
And Murray State had to win, Murray State had to win the conference tournament.
That's right, they did.
Belmont was number one in the regular season. But go out and watch go out to YouTube, start watching some Ja mixtapes. If you watch the history of his work over the season, I mean, the guy has an incredible ability to get to the hole. He can shoot it from outside.
He likes to dunk on people.
Yes, he does, and he's dunking over people.
Mm-hmm. He had that one.
That one dunk was beautiful.
I mean, two-handed.
We talked about this.
It was
a tomahawk over a seven-footer.
No, he had it to the end with both hands.
That's what just blew people away. Yeah. Because it blew me away when I saw that.
He's almost like he chest-bumped the guy on the way up, and just the guy took the contact, and Morant's got crazy. I want to know what his vertical is because he's 6'3". And he has been on highlight reels. ESPN has been on him all year. We've seen highlight reels of Ja Morant, and he's been like number three on their mock draft all year. Some of the other guys, though, have fallen, like Cam Reddish. Cam Reddish has fallen out of that five or whatever. Nasir Little has fallen out of that top five. There's guys like Rui Hachimura from Gonzaga, DeAndre Hunter from Virginia, Kelton Johnson from Kentucky. They're all right there in the top seven or eight of the most mock drafts I've seen. But my question, well, really before we even get to that, staying with Zion and Ja Morant, who do you think will have the better career in the NBA between the two?
Well, I mean, I can't go against Zion, but, you know.
Sure you can.
It all depends on injuries, you know. But I think Zion's going to have a solid 12 to 15-year career.
Really?
Absolutely.
Yeah?
Absolutely. I mean, he's still young, man. I mean, a 12-year career, that's until he's 32 years old.
Yeah. In the NBA, your prime is like age 28 to 32. Think about what Jordan was doing at age 28, 29, 30. Like, that's usually Kobe. That's usually right when you get to that pocket of you've been there for 8, 9 years,
You're still young enough to do a lot of that stuff, and your brain is caught up to your body. That's usually where your peak is. My only concern with Zion, and I've said it before, is his weight. I don't know. He would be like one of the heaviest guys in the league right now. I think he'd be the heaviest in the league right now. Second
from that 1'7" guy.
Some 7'2" dude. Yeah. I'm so worried about, and I want him to succeed because I really like the guy. I mean, it's hard not to like him. Mm-hmm. He's very likable. I'm more worried about him carrying that weight once he's 25, 27. If he's still at 285.
Barkley did it.
For a stretch, and then as he got older, he started breaking down. And really, Barkley's the only person I can think of that did do it, you know, at that weight.
Popeye Jones, was it? Do you guys remember that guy? I think he went to Murray State.
That actually. Name sounds familiar.
Popeye Jones was a big kind of overweight guy, but he was like 6'9".
Mm-hmm.
He played more of a center spot. This was back in probably the early 90s.
But don't you think there have been more guys in the history of the NBA that have eaten themselves out of the NBA than have played to Barkley?
Oliver Miller comes to mind. You remember him? Miller.
Big Baby.
Popeye Jones was built like Oliver Miller.
See, now I'll give Zion credit. He's not built like that. Like, I mean, he's 280. They're showing him as 280 on here, but I mean, he's pretty solid. He's like a tree trunk. But
he's got to play a 260.
Yeah, he's got to be. He's got to lose about 15 pounds, I think. Yeah.
NBA is like one of the only times that we hear guys talk about other guys' weight. Yeah. Critical of it. Otherwise,
but again, who do you think will have the better? You said Zion. You think
I'm
going to
go Zion?
What about you, Haskell? You think Zion will end up?
See, I'm going to go. I would go with Ja for the better career.
I think so too.
So you're saying more All-Star appearances and all that kind of stuff. Right?
I think
I really do.
Wow.
Yeah.
I think Ja has a chance to. If he goes second, he's probably going to Phoenix. And like I said, Phoenix's roster is super young. Devin Booker has had a 60-point game before, if I'm not mistaken. DeAndre Ayton was the number one pick last year. Josh Jackson was a top-five pick. I mean, they've got talent. They can keep it all together. Ja at the point doing that, I think they could have a chance to really be big. New York still has a lot of work to do to put stuff around Zion. I think that might affect his career also.
Quick question. So Ja Morant, here's maybe another comparison. You guys might argue with this, but De'Aaron Fox. Is it De'Aaron? De'Aaron Fox? Mm-hmm. I mean, with the speed, De'Aaron was a big dunker, could pass, could score. I mean, is Ja that much better than De'Aaron Fox?
De'Aaron Fox is a pretty good shooter. I don't know.
And he's doing a great job for Sacramento.
He is.
Right?
He really is. Aaron?
I just can't wait for the NBA draft because one of these guys has got to be the Sam Bowie.
We were talking about this the other day. Yeah. Who is the Sam Bowie of this draft? Because I thought it was going to be a weak draft, but top heavy. And I'm looking through the names that they've got out here. Ja Morant, R.J. Barrett, Hachimura, Kobe White.
Nasir Little. The Sam Bowie.
Somebody's got to be Sam Bowie. That was my pick, Nasir Little.
Absolutely.
Well, that's an interesting segue there, too, because the next question was between Nasir Little and Kobe White. Nasir Little came into the season as the third-ranked prospect behind Zion and R.J. Barrett. His stock has taken a bit of a hit, although he had a good game last night. He's played off the bench all year. He's had some random injuries. He's still kind of floating around the lottery.
He's a lottery.
He's right around 9 or 10 almost, actually right around Charlotte's pick from what I've been seeing.
Still hasn't shown any. I mean, you know, obviously he's got the body for it and all that.
He's
but
very
he
athletic.
Has not done it this year.
Meanwhile, Kobe White was a top 25 prospect. He signed with Carolina like his sophomore year of high school. If you haven't seen the video, there's a video out on Twitter about Kobe White that CBS Sports did that has to do with him and his father. His father passed away after he committed to Carolina. His father wanted him to go to Carolina. They met with Roy, did the whole process. He signed a letter of intent sophomore year. Then he grew because he was like 6'1", 6'2", when he first signed. Now he's 6'5". His father passed from cancer, and then so now him and his mom are together. But Kobe doesn't seem like the type that's worried about the NBA. I could be wrong. I don't really know him like that. But between those two, Nasir Little and Kobe White, should either of them stay or should they go? Because Kobe White right now, I'm looking at a mock draft on NBADraft.net, and they've got him at number 5 going to Atlanta.
So that means Kobe, you're going.
He's got to go.
Every time I hear that he's the all-time North Carolina high school scorer,
mm-hmm.
I wish I would have watched him last year as a senior because he must have just lit it up because he's lighting up college basketball right now.
And it's been a gradual growth. Like if you look at what he was doing in December, he was playing too fast. He was turning the ball over, and Carolina lost some games. They probably shouldn't have lost that game, even though he scored like 30-something points in that game. But now. It's like watching a kid that learned how to drive a sports car.
You just said it, man. I mean, because he knows when to use his speed.
Mm-hmm.
He was just full speed ahead at the beginning of the season and got him.
Now you're seeing him, like, it's almost like watching Ty Lawson learn how to do it, because like he's picking spots. He'll slow down a little bit, come over the half court, and then he just boom, he speeds up and he cuts through. And
I love his game.
Him and RJ,
that's an
man.
NBA game. There's no doubt about it.
And he's got an NBA body. I think I just talked myself into making sure Kobe White's not coming back.
Yeah, well, I hate to say it. He's gone. He's definitely.
And what about Nasir Little?
The only reason why I say he is gone, because I don't think he's going to be a lottery pick this year for whatever reason, because he was supposed to be a top five pick.
He drops down to a
top 10 pick, he better go now, because I'm not sure. You know, is he going to improve that much next year to improve his
stock? I think he's only getting better. As in last night, like when he played, you can tell we talked about it the other day when they played Duke or whatever. He seemed like sloppy, out of control. He wanted to ISO. Last night, I think he had, like you said, 19 points. Mm-hmm. Every single one of those 19 were basically like patient, like buckets, right place, right time, filling in the gaps. Like it was, he played really well, and it was like that's what he needs
What's
to do.
What's his position?
Small forward. So he'd be taking guarding the LeBron James, Kevin Durant's of the world, Paul George.
Oh my God!
Yeah,
well, that's.
I mean, Zion would too. I mean, Zion's kind of playing the three. So I mean, I would love if they both stayed. I don't think Kobe can. I think Kobe's got to go if he's going to be top five. And Nasir, I think Nasir could stay and actually improve his stock. Because right now, like I said, he's right 10, 12. I've seen he's slipping down, but I think the draft next year is weaker and. He'd be starting next year for a Carolina team that would need to lean on him. Yeah. He'd be a sophomore. Dean Smith always said the biggest leap in a college basketball player's career is the summer between freshman and sophomore year. Yeah. That's when they usually things slow down. They start to understand fundamentals and defensive things. I think Nasir should stay. Will he? I have no clue. But
I keep thinking about McAdoo. Remember his stock.
But McAdoo wasn't as good as Nasir is, I don't think. But McAdoo was
McAdoo
top
was
five
better
after
than
freshman
Nasir
year.
At this stage,
he was.
Yeah.
But he had a what was that, the 2009 team that he was on as a freshman? Is that right? 2009? No. 2012. He was with Harrison Barnes and Kendall Marshall and those boys. He was a freshman coming off the bench on that team, and then they all left and he had to start, and he kind of got exposed a little bit. But
well, Nasir needs to have a big tournament. So he had 19 last night. I mean, he's got to continue to have like 15 and 8 games throughout the tournament, and then maybe I'll be a believer.
Oh, well, they're going to need him. They're going to need him tomorrow. They got Washington at like, I think it's at 2:45 or something like that tomorrow. So we'll check out that as well. Let's take a quick break. But next, we haven't forgotten about the rest of the ACC. What's going on with the other half of the Big Four? NC State is in the NIT, and they're looking to advance towards a potential huge game here in the Triad versus UNCG if both win this weekend. Wake Forest has made a decision regarding the future of head coach Danny Manning. Plus, should Michigan State head coach Tom Izzo have to defend himself after yelling at a freshman player on national TV on Thursday in the heat of the moment of a tourney game? If you've got comments that you want to express regarding Wake Forest retaining Danny Manning, give us a call at 336-777-1600 or hit us on our Twitter at sportshubtriad.com. We'll get a little bit of info on our poll of the day as well when we come back. You're listening to The Rundown.
What's up, dog?
Think about it.
A party?
Are we having a party? Yeah!
Back to The Rundown with Desmond Johnson.
For the latest coverage of ACC sports, Panthers, Hornets, high school, NASCAR, and much more, visit SportsCarolinaMonthly.com for coverage of your favorite local teams, mid-majors, exclusive stories from our staff of writers, audio and video content, and more. We've actually expanded the podcast department there. New podcasts that debuted this past week include A Stone's Throw from Ryan Stone. He's actually been in here once. He's a studio host for Appalachian State Sports for IMG. Definitely check out that podcast. We have that exclusive. And The Four-Man Rush, which is a new podcast coming out of Charlotte. It's a Carolina Panthers podcast. Very good. Know all four of the gentlemen who are involved with that. You can listen to those weekly as well. You also can hear episodes of The Rundown in there and much more we've got planned coming up here throughout the year. So definitely go to SportsCarolinaMonthly.com and don't miss news daily. In the NIT, NC State's taking on Harvard Sunday at 7:30 p.m. in the second round. UNC Greensboro taking on Lipscomb today, and we'll have that right here on the Sports Hub at 2 p.m. You'll hear it on WCOG and WMFR over the air. That's our Greensboro and High Point frequencies, 93.7 and 104.9. And then we'll also be streaming it across our platforms on the website, sportshubtriot.com, and the app that you can download in the Google Store or Apple. We'll be streaming it there at 2 p.m. So if you're a Spartan and you want to hear UNCG take on Lipscomb at the Coliseum, definitely check us out there. If both win, UNCG will host NC State next week in the Greensboro Coliseum. Guys, do you think the NIT has that impact of the NIT, has it changed for the better over the past few years? Because for a while, I remember growing up, and it was kind of like the loser's bracket, I guess. But yeah, there's been some good teams in this NIT the past few years.
The not invited tournament.
Right, yeah.
I think it has picked up the last probably 5 years or so. Mm-hmm. Because then at the a pretty good committee really kind of picks the teams now. But I think it's just great for UNCG. I'm not sure how great it is for NC State. You know, I mean, but I think it's greater for UNCG, and they just, I just want them to make it to Madison Square Garden for that Final Four.
That would be huge for the program. It's huge for a program like UNCG, who just missed out on the tournament. And there was a debate for about 2 weeks regarding mid-majors and getting into the tournament and everything else. And Haskell was telling us during the break that some interesting facts about how mid-majors have actually fared in the first round of the tournament so far.
Yeah, you've got if you look down, the big conferences have dominated in the early first round. The Big Ten 7-1, the ACC is 5-2, and then you've got in third the SEC is 5-2, and then when you start to look at some of these conferences that have gotten a couple of bids, like the Big East has 3 bids. St. John's lost in the first 4, but they're 1-2, and then you go to the A-10, they had 2 teams, and they're 0-2, VCU and St. Louis losing. And then I think Midwestern Conference? I don't know whatever conference Nevada and Utah State are in, they went 0-2.
Hmm. I was very disappointed
Mountain
in Nevada.
Valley or something like
I thought
Mountain Valley. Mountain Valley right.
I, yeah. I thought Nevada would have made a run this
Me too.
Year. My God, they were in Me the too. Top 10 all year long. They got those the twins, yep. Senior leadership, and
from
they
here.
Just hit the
They're from here.
Crap.
They played Davie County. They were NC State for
they
a year.
They sure were.
Yeah, and then they transferred out. I was high on Nevada too. I actually complained about the seat they got, but I guess it was just right.
Yeah, I guess.
Are we basically saying the committee got it right? Because we heard a lot about mid-majors deserve more credit. They need more teams in here. But, I mean, it's still the Power 5 schools that are beating these schools in these opening rounds. So, I mean, how many mid-majors can you actually stick into a round of 68 when it's – I mean, everything is basically kind of coming up chalk. Now, you have some situations like Liberty winning last night over Mississippi State.
That was big.
That was a big win for them.
UC
they came back
Irvine.
To
well,
UC
that,
Irvine.
Well, they're not – yeah, but –
you're going to have
13 over a 4.
Wow. Yeah, you're going to have
called
some
both
of those
games, by the way.
Oh, no. See, sorry.
A little humble brag.
I meant to ask Sawyer what his bracket was, because he asked me when I first walked in if I did a bracket.
I have my Final Four. It's a little bold. FSU, Tennessee, wow. Carolina, Duke, and I had to do the Carolina Duke final.
Oh,
I didn't
no,
want to do
Sawyer,
it.
No.
I didn't want to do it.
No.
My heart won't take it. But,
no.
So far, only missed one game in each division, so we're looking
that's
pretty
strong.
Good.
Oh, yeah, that's very strong.
Show
I'm scrolling through the brackets, and Wofford stands out to me as the one mid-major to watch, and I was high on them before they even made these
that
brackets.
That team's real.
They are very real. They are a problem, and it's hard to guard a team that has one or two guys that can shoot threes. It seems like every guy they have out there will shoot a three.
So that dude is the all-time three-point
Fletcher McGee?
Shooter?
Yeah. Did you see the three
How cool
that he
is
shot?
That?
The one after he broke the record, he shot a shot where he caught the ball and he wasn't facing the basket, and he shot it and he still wasn't facing the basket. He shot it like he was facing the baseline, and he shot it and the ball went in, but it softly rolled in, it rattled in and just fell in. It was the weirdest shot I've ever seen, and even the announcers were like Fletcher McGee, he wasn't even facing the basket and he hit a three, and it was just weird. But
he's just a scorer, a
there's
shooter.
There's a couple. Watch out for Wofford. Play today at 2:40.
Kentucky, right?
Yep, they play Kentucky today at 2:40.
Oh, I'll be watching.
Kentucky does not have PJ Washington, their big man. He was in a boot and now he's in a hard cast, and I'm pretty sure Cal said that he's not available today. Yeah. The winner of that will take on the winner of Ohio State and Houston. Now, Houston's not in a Power 5 conference either. They're a 3 seed in the Midwest. And Ohio State was an 11 seed. They beat Iowa State last night.
Yeah, how about Ohio State kicking it in a little bit?
Yeah, no, I didn't think they deserved to be in.
Yeah.
Me either.
But Michigan also played Houston last year. We got all that we could take from them. So
pretty
this
good.
Might be their last game for Ohio State.
I was high on Belmont, and Maryland beat them. I was high on Louisville, and they lost first round to Minnesota.
I was low on Louisville. I remember ever since that Duke game, I said they were going down, and I their record must have been like 3-9.
They fell apart after that Duke game. They really did. But yeah, I think Haskell's right in terms of like this whole thing about we need more mid majors in here. Mid majors play great ball too. All right, well, like we said, beat people. Yep. You know, look at Gonzaga. Gonzaga is a 20-year experiment where they went from being a mid-major that would pop up in the Sweet 16 every couple of years to being consistently good every year to the point where I don't think anybody thinks of them as a mid-major anymore.
No way.
Even though technically they're a mid-major. I mean, I think they're in the Mountain West. Is that right? Yeah, I think they're in the Mountain West. They've won it for the past decade or something. I mean,
Mark Few, that is one of the top programs in the nation right now.
Wofford's on that same path, I think. When that they beat Carolina 2 years ago, that put them on the map, because I remember people making fun of like Carolina fans like myself. Oh, you lost to Waffles. You lost to the Terriers. Oh, God, we don't even know where they are or whatever. Right. And like Carolina fans were like, look, this team came in here and hit like 16 threes or whatever on us. Like, I mean, anybody does that, it's going to be hard to beat them. And I like the fact they have gotten better. That was 2 seasons ago, and they've gotten better since then. Now a lot of people know who Fletcher McGee is.
Absolutely.
They have a great team.
What are we saying about Wofford if they would have recruited Ja Morant and he's on that team?
There you go.
I think they'd be right in the top 10 of the AP poll, and probably would have been a 3 seed.
I mean, shoot, they were in the top 20 most of the year.
Yeah, they were. I think they're right. I didn't see where they finished, but they were number 20 going into championship week. So, I mean, they're for real. I mean, they've won 30 games. There's only a couple teams that have even won over 28 games, I believe. So they're legit. They're legit.
Speaking of our own mid-major team, this UNC, the G, I guess they're mm-hmm. saying.
Spartan Pride.
How cool would it be, okay, if they win, and of course if NC State wins, and then they play in the Coliseum next week or whatever, and your argument with the Josh man was who's better, UNCG or NC State?
They can find out.
It's going to come down to that game.
Roll the ball out. We can find out which one it is. And honestly, I expect UNCG to win that game.
I think
they will. They're the number one overall seed in the NIT, and they're equipped to they withstood Chris Clemens. I had to go take equipment out to UNCG for our stream of the game Tuesday night. And while we were hooking up, they started the game. And the first part, it was UNCG versus Campbell opening round. And Chris Clemens, if you don't know, he's like number 3 or something overall in Division I scoring or something like that.
That's correct.
For a career.
Way over 3,000.
And man, if you've never seen this dude in person,
yeah,
I got introduced to him. And like I was there for the first 10 minutes of the first half hooking up stuff. And I'm like on the floor. So like every time I hear the crowd going off, I turn my back to look at the court and we're down on the Campbell end. And I turn around to see Chris Clemens literally going around 2 UNCG guys and just getting to the cup easily. And he did it about 8 times, it felt like, while I was standing there. And either they ran out of gas or something, but he's short. He's like
5'9".
Yeah. And but he's stocky. He's stocky. Like you can see the muscles ripping off his shoulders as he's driving by. He kind of reminds me a little bit of Chris Paul, but like with hops, I guess. I mean, I don't know, but I think he deserves a chance to play in the NBA.
Yeah,
for sure.
He dropped 30, right? Or 30 plus?
Yeah.
I think something crazy.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, he dropped like half of that while I was standing there. Like every time I turn around, he was driving in the paint and scoring, and UNCG looked flustered because they were down early and they could not figure out how to stop him. By the time I got in the car and was driving back up the interstate, UNCG had calmed down. It was halftime, and then UNCG just took over in the second half. But UNCG, I expect them to win the NIT. I fully expect them to be in New York.
Yep, I do.
If this game happens, depending on the time, I wouldn't mind going to it, actually.
That would be a good one.
I'll see if I can hook up some
it would be a big crowd.
Some tickets for us,
that would be the other thing.
Oh, you know, they had a great crowd. Yeah. It was full in the Coliseum.
Oh,
for this.
Nice.
Yeah.
For this past game?
They let all students in free, and they had like a tailgate, like a taco tailgate right before
Beautiful.
It.
Beautiful.
Shout out to Tim George at UNCG, the assistant athletic director that's been helping out. Putting all this together, I need to touch on Danny Manning and the situation at Wake Forest. They announced Friday morning they would be retaining Danny Manning. Guys, is this a good or a bad decision by Wake Forest? Or do they have a choice? Because the rumor was the buyout was like $18 million. So I mean, what do you guys say?
It's a good question. I'm glad he's staying. I got a soft spot for Danny Manning, I guess. Too. And maybe they just couldn't – they didn't see anyone better that wanted the job or that they could get to take the job. So, you know, I hope he can give us, you know, within the next couple of years, show us some sort of change here, man, for the better.
I looked at their recruiting class coming in. He's got 3 three-star kids coming in, and he's got a 7-foot center coming in. He's in the running for Cole Anthony, who's the number one combo guard in the country. But
he's still out there, huh?
Well, he's narrowed it down basically to Oregon or Carolina. And he was at the Carolina-Duke game senior night and had a ball, apparently, according to all accounts. So I'm kind of thinking he's going to – I think Cole is waiting to see what Coby White does before he makes his decision. But he's a combo guard. They could play together. But I think he's waiting on that to see if he's going to fully commit to Carolina. As for Wake Forest – my question was, if you let Danny go, who do you replace him with? Like, right. Who's out there that would be available that would be not in the same situation 5 years from now where we're like, oh, we need to fire Bill Smith or whoever it was that we brought in here. Plus, if you let Danny go now, you have to pay him and you got to pay the new coach at the same time. This is why I thought over the summer while we were in here and they gave Danny that extension. And we commented on it. We were like, that's kind of weird that they would give him an extension right now. When he's towards the end of his contract, they can get out of it if they really wanted to. And then they gave him an extension, and then the fan backlash was just – people are still not very happy about this. We talked about it on the radio yesterday.
What are the real expectations for Wake Forest basketball in the ACC? I mean, that's really the good question.
Well
– I mean, you've got in a state – I guess I see this from an outsider's perspective in some way, but – when you're in the same state as Duke and Carolina, and then you've got NC State, and you've got all these other schools that are kind of on the up and up, the Campbells, the UNCGs, et cetera.
But for a few years, they were
the number one ranked team in the country 10 years ago.
Sure.
Yeah.
I mean, that was after Chris Paul.
And they got a taste of that. So, you know, it's – I agree with you. I don't see that happening, though. I don't think that's going to come back. Yeah. Well, with competing against the Dukes, Carolinas, you know, State's going to – with their coach,
State is on the right path. Yeah. And Kevin Keats, the coach for NC State, he said that they were a year ahead of schedule like 2 months ago. And really that's kind of when they started dipping when he said that. But with Wake, I grew up – Wake was always my second team. Carolina was my team, and Wake was right down the road. So they were my second team. They had got Muggsy Bogues and Rodney Rogers and – Randolph Childress and Tim Duncan and all these guys. So they always had, like, they weren't 5-star kids coming in, but they'd be like 3-4-star guys that were able to be coached and become better. I mean, Tim Duncan was a swimmer or whatever when Dave Odom found him. Like, he wasn't even thinking about basketball. And I think for Wake, what they have to do is get back to what made them good before, which was Carolina would always get, it always felt like they would get the number one prospect in the state of North Carolina every year. And then Wake would get the number two guy. So, or sometimes they'd get the number one guy. So, like, when they landed Chris Paul knew he was going to Wake Forest 2 years before he got there. Josh Howard played at Glenn. I mean, he was a 5-star kid. He knew he was going there. They need to get back to heavy recruiting North Carolina first and owning North Carolina. Now, they tried to get Wendell Moore from Cox Mill this year, and he's like a top 5 kid in the country, and he picked Duke. So, I mean, it's not like Danny's not trying. And Jalen Horde is a 5-star kid. Hopefully he stays so they can build something with it. But they need to get back to concentrating on getting these top-ranked North Carolina kids to commit to Wake Forest. Then you sprinkle in stuff from the region or from the country to go with them. But that was what made Wake Forest special to me, was that they always had a kid from North Carolina, like from Winston, that you could relate to. Josh Howard's from Winston-Salem, Southside Winston. I mean, you can relate to that. That's someone you probably passed in a store or something a year ago. Chris Paul, same way. He's from Louisville area. So, I mean – that, to me, was the big difference.
Another problem with Wake Forest, too, is you got Virginia Tech right down the road getting all the top – the good
schools are coming in here and pulling them out.
Of course,
yeah.
Virginia. But Va Tech is – you know, their basketball program has really turned around.
Watch out for them.
It looks like they're going to lose their coach, man. He's going to Texas
A&M. I heard that yesterday.
I hate that. I hate that because I really want him to stay at Va. I love Buzz Williams. Yeah. I mean, he is a character.
Hey, man, get out of the ACC. You don't have to compete against Roy and Kay and Boeheim.
He's from Texas, and Texas A&M has the big bucks.
They have the biggest endowment of any public university, I think, in the country.
I mean, he's got to go
billions. Yeah. I mean, they just paid Jimbo Fisher $75 million to come over, all guaranteed. So the money is there. We have Tim on the line from Winston-Salem. He wants to talk about Danny Manning and Wake Forest. Tim, what's going on, man? You're on the rundown.
Yeah, the guy said a minute ago, what are their expectations? Well, being a fan of Wake for the past 50 years, my expectations is to get back where we used to be.
Where would that be?
Dave Odom, Skip Prosser, Carl Tasey, 16 years in a row to the postseason play, either the NCAA or the NIT. The past two coaching hires have not been some of Ron Wellman's best work. I think that's been proven over the last 10 years. And I think that both of them are probably great guys. Buzz Delic was not a head coach. He might be a great defensive coach at Houston, but he wasn't a good head coach, and he wasn't a good recruiter. Danny Manning, I think he can recruit good ball players, but I question his coaching. And I also wonder, you were saying earlier about how to go out and target the top guys in North Carolina. Well, I think if you sit back and look, somebody needs to try to figure out how to keep the guys there once he does get them.
Great
point. I'm not talking about John Collins. I'm talking about the other 17, 18 players that's left in the past 5 years before they graduated.
That's an excellent point, Tim. Thank you for the call, and I'm glad you mentioned that because we hadn't talked about that yet, the fact that for some unknown reason, kids leave Wake early. Like last year they had Darrell Moore left early. Who was the other kid? Brandon? I can't remember his name. It was guard. He left early too, against the recommendation of the coaching staff and the NBA scouts. They went to the NBA combine and ran through the workouts and were told to go back to school, and then they still left anyway. I think Darrell Moore is playing. I think he's in the G League, or they're both overseas. But
overseas, I believe.
If Wake had a 7-foot Darrell Moore in the paint this year to go with Jalen Horde and Brandon Childress and those boys, they wouldn't have finished at the bottom of the conference. They'd probably have been like NC State or Clemson. They'd been about 500 bubble team. Probably would have got a win here and there against some. They would have won that Duke game in Cameron if they had had a 7-foot Darrell Moore.
And like Tim said, why are they losing?
That's the question. That's the thing no one knows. Like, why are these kids leaving early? That's why I'm kind of worried that Jalen Horde's going to leave early, because the pattern is there where these guys are leaving earlier than they probably should. If Danny could just keep one or two of his classes together for 3 years, we wouldn't even have this problem. And I will say this too, and I'll end on that, on this note. I catch a feeling from Wake Forest fans, they're more frustrated that Wake isn't winning, but they're not really blaming Danny Manning for it. They kind of understand what's happening, and it seems like they're kind of rooting for him to turn it around. Like, I think they would rather Danny be the coach that gets them to where they want to be instead of firing Danny and bringing in somebody else to get them where they want to be, because Danny is a tried guy. I mean, he played at Page. He won a state title there. He won at Kansas, and we all claimed him as our. I mean, people like Danny Manning. So I don't think they really want to – I don't think when the news came out that he was staying that people were mad he was staying. I think they were more frustrated. They think everything's going to stay the way it is. And
I agree.
That, I don't know if that's going to happen the way they think or not, but I don't know. He's going to get at least another year, and then the new John Curry, the new athletic director, will get a chance to make a decision off of that, I suppose.
Don't you think that Wes Miller was reached out to at some point during this whole process?
Said
pass.
I've heard Shaka Smart, too. That name's popped up.
But he's at Texas making all kinds of money.
I don't understand it. I do not understand it, but I've heard that name pop up, too. Yep. Wes Miller would have been high on my list if I was
at I think if you're – and I know you guys talked with Josh the other day about kind of which athletic director made the decision on who to keep Manning, but at some point during that conversation, whichever athletic director was making the call, you have to kind of secretly reach out behind the scenes and say, hey, are you interested? Or talk to your top two or three people, right? And then and then you make your decision, hey, we're keeping them.
I would think so.
You
have to.
Real quick, and then we got to take a break. Did you guys see Tom Izzo yelling at his freshman Thursday, Aaron? How do you feel about that? I mean, I'm fine with it. I grew up in that. So
And that's old school, It's normal. I've seen it, and the players I don't think it really affects them that much afterwards.
Yeah. Well, I mean, so the quote from Izzo after that, when someone asked him about it, and basically if he should apologize to freshman Aaron Henry, Izzo said, "What's wrong with challenging a kid that makes some mistakes? Aaron Henry, trust me, did some things you can't do as a starter on a top five team at the end of your freshman year. They were effort related. I did get after him. He did respond. He did make a couple of big buckets. He did make some big free throws, but that's not good enough. It's one and done time. The my bads are out the window.
I think one of the things, so my first year of college, Izzo's first year at Michigan State basketball. So I was in East Lansing getting to see that. He was obviously an assistant for Judd Heathcote before that at MSU. And I guess I get this at a core level from being a Michigan guy. He grew up in the Upper Peninsula. These are Grizzly folks who kind of are old school Midwestern folks. And you've got a history of this, right, in the Big Ten with Woody Hayes getting fired for punching somebody. And then you've got Bobby Knight throwing chairs all over. But this is acceptable behavior in the Midwest for whatever reason. But we want our Grizzly guys that are out there. And I, you know, the comment that I made on Twitter the other day was, I don't think that any kid that is on Michigan State currently, that his parents were not aware of, number one, the language Izzo uses, right, or number two, his coaching tactics, or number three, that he is trying to build a tough brand. His whole goal since the day he stepped into that job is, we're going to build the toughest school in the Big Ten from a basketball standpoint, and we're going to beat Michigan. And then the Big Ten championship started coming, the Final Four run started coming, and that is what he's built. If you don't want to be a part of that, that's okay. But I didn't have a problem with it.
Yep, because they have a choice.
336-777-1600 is the number to call if you want to chime in. We'll take a look at our poll of the day when we come back, plus a little NBA action. The Hornets were in action Thursday night right here on the Sports Hub versus the Minnesota Timberwolves. We'll look at where the Hornets are in the standings. And although they aren't mathematically out of it, what should the Hornets do going forward? Plus, the curious case of Kevin Durant. Where would you rank him in terms of best players in the NBA today? Has Durant somehow affected his own legacy and historical ranking because he plays for Golden State? We'll catch up on the NBA next on The Rundown.
A special message from Goodwill.
Timothy would just like to thank you for cleaning out your closet. Maya says gracias for being such a great bargain hunter. April could hug you for growing tired of your old sofa. And Christy is loving the fact that you bought that toaster oven. Those are just some of the thousands of people you've helped by donating and shopping at Goodwill. Because the money we raise by selling your donated items allows us to train deserving folks for good-paying jobs. So from all of us at Goodwill, thanks.
Family-owned Jason's Deli is where families like to eat together. Everyone enjoys bigger choices of better food, including 12 meals for kids 12 and under. And here's an important reminder for parents in Winston-Salem and Greensboro. Ask your deli how kids can eat for free every Wednesday, 5 to 10 p.m., making mealtime easier. It's a family thing at Jason's Deli, serving you every day at the Friendly Center in Greensboro and 1005 Haynes Mall Boulevard in Winston-Salem. Jasonsdeli.com.
Big, bright, clean, and easily accessible, the Storage Hub is the newest storage facility in the Winston-Salem, Clemens area. The Storage Hub offers customer-controlled access with staff on site to provide safe, easy access to your storage unit, along with state-of-the-art 24-hour surveillance. They offer a variety of sizes at competitive rates, along with their 18-month price guarantee. This ensures your rate will not increase in a few short months. Call 336-893-5403 today or visit the Storage Hub at 2717 Hope Church Road in Winston-Salem. Online at thestoragehub.net.
Looking for a chance to relive your prom? Do you just want an excuse to get all dressed up and spend a night out in the town? Then join the Kernersville Museum for our first annual Deja Vu Prom, an evening under the stars. The prom will be held on April 13th from 8 to 11 p.m. at the Paul J. Senior Botanical Gardens. Tickets are on sale now, $30 for one or $50 for two. Must be 21 years or older to attend. Come on out and dance the night away while supporting the Kernersville Museum. For more information and to purchase tickets, visit our website, kernersvillemuseum.org.
Shut up.
Sit down.
Are you ready?
Stand by.
You're listening to The Rundown with Desmond Johnson.
That's right.
The Charlotte Hornets' remaining entire season will be broadcasted by the Sports Hub, including playoffs, if they make it in. WSJS Sports Hub is your new exclusive home for Charlotte Hornets basketball in the Triad. The Hornets take on Kyrie Irving and the Boston Celtics 6 p.m. tonight, right here on the Sports Hub. We got a loaded show, a loaded day today. After we're done with the rundown at 2 p.m., you got UNCG versus Lipscomb, second round of the NIT. That will be on multiple stations with the Sports Hub and streaming live from our app and on our website at sportshubtriad.com. And then we've got Hornets Celtics tonight at 6 p.m. So we've got a lot of stuff going on here. Let's get an update on our poll from earlier today. Aaron, the poll question for today was, do you want to see North Carolina versus Duke part four in the national championship game? I'm almost afraid to ask the results of this poll, but lay it on me.
The tryout appears to be torn 50-50 right down the middle.
That sounds about right. I do not want that to happen. And we're going to, as long as they're both playing, we're going to talk about it over the next 3 weeks, but it can't happen. It cannot. This is a Carolina fan talking. This cannot happen.
What's the harm?
My heart. I would have a heart attack.
What's the harm?
What's the harm? It's just a little basketball.
Walmart's looted across the state, cars flipped over. Birds dying in mid-flight and falling out of the sky. Like, it would be like the state would just fall into this hole of fire and brimstone, and it like, I don't think it would be allowed to happen. I think where are they playing? Minnesota for the Final Four. I think that building would just collapse on itself before we could even start the game. Like, it can't happen.
It'll live a little.
That would be great. I think it would be great. The most non-North Carolina state where they would meet Minnesota.
That wouldn't go well.
There's a reason why it's never happened. Like, the fates do not want it to happen. There's a reason why they have never met in the national championship, the Final Four. They've only come close in my lifetime, and that was 91, and that was the UNLV Duke Final Four when Duke upset UNLV. I remember it being. And I was young. I was probably 10 or 11 years old, but I understood the gravity of it. And Jay Billis talked about this on the TV the other day. He was in the building because he was an assistant for Duke on that team. And he said that you could feel the heaviness in the building of people not concerned, but like knowing in the back of their head we were this close to basically the sun and earth colliding and like whatever was going to go down. But even in that, people thought it was going to be Carolina and UNLV because no one thought Duke was going to beat UNLV. And no one thought Roy Williams was going to beat Dean Smith. And then the opposites happened for both. So it was Duke, Kansas instead of UNLV, Carolina. So
thank God Armageddon didn't happen.
But from
they want it to happen. That's the problem. Everyone wants it to happen this year. I do not.
From a couple guys like Haskell and myself, you know, kind of from the outside looking in, mm-hmm. I wouldn't mind seeing it.
Of course, we're not
Carolina or Duke fans. Be very interesting.
I think it'd be the highest rated championship probably ever.
Yeah, I think, you know, and it would be a nice feather in the cap to the whole is this the greatest rivalry in sports thing. I don't think that it would detract from that argument to say, especially if they got the highest rated national championship of all time.
I mean, I
think that'd be something that you'd go, hey, this is why it's such a big deal.
It would put it over the top.
It'd be over Magic Bird, in my opinion. Like, that's the highest rated college basketball national championship.
So you
game.
Do want this to happen.
I do not.
Okay.
I do not.
All right,
then
Michigan and Ohio State will be the greatest rivalry then.
Aaron.
What's really going on is Desmond and a few other UNC fans are afraid they'll lose that big game.
No, not at all. Aaron. No,
let me address that. Let me address that real quick. We'll get to the Hornets in a bit. They're in the 10th spot right now, and they're not in the playoffs. We'll get to them in a little bit.
Soft spot?
No. From the beginning of this season, you've been sitting in there with me throughout this entire semester. Have I ran from Zion Williamson to Duke once?
All season long, you were like, I want the smoke. I want Zion. I want the smoke. Duke. I want all the smoke.
I already got it.
And all of a sudden, when all the chips are on the table, you're pulling out. You're like, no. This is too much.
Now, see, those were games that we knew were going to happen. This is a hypothetical. Like, you were talking about a game that is not on the schedule that you want to see. I wanted to see them on the games that they were written to show up to play us. Like, put on your uniform, we'll put on ours, and we'll see who's better. And we did that three times. Normally, we don't get three games at Carolina Duke. We've just been blessed the past 3 years to get it. But normally, we don't even get three. To ask for four, to me, that's just being greedy. You're just being extremely greedy. And I don't want the trump card, even if Carolina wins, because I enjoy being a part of the rivalry. I don't want the trump card of being like,
right, one game.
Yeah, you know, oh, well, at least you didn't beat us in the national championship game. I mean, that's a shutdown of any argument there will ever be until they meet again, and we don't know if that would ever happen. So
I see that.
Now, there's the best point you've made, I think.
Thank you.
I didn't think of that.
What's wrong with a little finality?
We don't want finale. This is why this is the best rivalry in sports. And like I said, it's different. Lakers-Celtics, that rivalry was built in the NBA Finals. And even with that, the Celtics won like the first eight of those. So it was like you couldn't really say it was a rivalry so much until the Lakers finally won one. If this happened with Carolina and Duke, it would forever change the rivalry for both sides of fans, regardless of who won the game.
Donald Trump's president, anything is possible.
Cut his mic off. I'm done with Aaron for now.
That's hit me right there.
It would change it. Like, imagine if Syracuse and Georgetown played in the national championship game at the height of Big East. Would that change that rivalry?
It would have. Because that one game, like you just said.
Or if Michigan and Ohio State play in the national championship game.
I don't want Ohio State beating us for all-time bragging.
Exactly. Like, I don't want. Like, I'm not saying they would beat us.
No, I understand.
I feel confident that Carolina could beat this team.
I did not understand it before.
I didn't either.
I'm not saying that they would lose to Duke. In fact, I think Carolina's best equipped to beat this Duke team out of the entire field. And I think the whole country thinks that, which is why they want this game. They want the best game.
That's why I didn't understand you until you just said that. I'm thinking, wow.
I just don't want it to ruin what has been like my entire life, like the best rivalry.
I agree with that. That's the best point I've ever heard in that argument. Right. What do you think if – and this was never probably would happen, but what if Carolina played Duke in the national championship in football? How would you feel as a Carolina fan?
I mean, if that happened, something seriously went wrong. To like, are we under attack? Is there like a war going on or something? Like, are some
possibly,
of our
yes.
Like, I don't understand totally how they got there, but
there's some nuclear fallout happening.
It's our punishment. Is watching right. Those two play against each other.
If they were in the national championship game in football,
yeah.
Something went horribly wrong with the whole system, or they're the only two teams playing football that year, or something. I don't know, but
that's a whole different.
That would be different, because the rivalry
is
more
basketball thing.
This college basketball thing that we have, I feel like it's ours. You know, it's the one thing that's ours in the state that we can claim. That's like, you know, Carolina Duke it writes itself. To have it in the national championship game, I don't think we want that.
With Josh
probably
this past week?
Probably.
And he disagreed with that.
No, I don't think he disagreed with it. He just wants chaos. He just wants to see he claims he's not here for either team. He just wants to see the best matchup, and I understand that. But if you're not a fan of either team, I promise you the majority of the fans for both of these schools do not want to see this. They do not want to see them in the national championship game for all the reasons I just laid out. There's a couple that are crazy that want to see it, but that's because they think their team is better and is going to win.
Right.
You know, like if
it's all fun and games until one of them loses.
Exactly. Everybody has a plan, so they get punched in the face. So let's, I know we were supposed to talk about Hornets, and we'll give them about 5 minutes here, which is probably all they deserve right now.
I got a quick question before we get to the Hornets, because I know we got a lot to cover there. No. Quick question for you guys. Do you know Ja Morant's real first name?
No.
You guys
anybody in the control room?
What about you guys?
No.
Demetrius.
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 Oh, Demetrius.
T-E-M-E-T-R-I-U-S.
I like Ja.
That's
I was thinking earlier.
I didn't get Ja from that.
I know. Figure that out.
This NBA draft will forever be known as Zion, Ja, and RJ. They're going to go in that order.
They're going to go with that three. Yeah,
whatever order it is.
Middle name is Jamal. So.
Oh, okay.
Gotcha.
Jamal. Gotcha. All right.
I like that.
Yeah. The Hornets, after all that now, the Hornets, they did win the other night. 113-106 winners over the Minnesota Timberwolves. They are 32-39 on the season. They are in 10th place. They are two spots out of the playoffs, which honestly might not be a bad thing at this point, because I don't think I really care to see them getting swept by the Milwaukee Bucks and Giannis. I don't know what they're supposed to do here. The main reason why I even put them in here, I'm starting to lean more towards not signing Kemba Walker to a max deal off of what Haskell actually laid out last week. How would you feel if the Hornets had a sign and trade with the Lakers? Kemba Walker and Malik Monk for Lonzo Ball, Josh Hart, the Lakers' first-round pick. Would you do that trade?
Go ahead, Haskell. I don't want Lonzo
well,
Ball.
I think
first
it's,
of all,
you don't want Lonzo
you
Ball.
Keep him. I wanted to put Kyle.
He's not
Kuzma.
A big baller, I guess.
I wanted to put Kyle Kuzma in there, but I know the Lakers wouldn't part Kuzma for a Kemba Walker deal. Now,
yeah, I mean, I would do that. Obviously, at this point, I think that number one, the statistically a sign and trade is going to be very unlikely, just because it doesn't happen a ton with unrestricted free agents at the magnitude that Kemba is entering into. So as we kind of discussed last week. Dallas tried to trade for him in January. Dallas has made him the number one free agent target. So with that under consideration, I would definitely take this trade, because at least the Hornets are getting some assets back. I do happen to like Malik Monk probably more than the rest of the fan base does, and I am critical of his defensive ability. However, getting Lonzo Ball and, you know, some picks, yeah, absolutely.
I would. I mean, at this point, because
get something.
I don't want to pay Kyrie Irving $40 million a year when he's 35 years old. I mean, not Kyrie Irving, excuse me, Kemba Walker. But I think that's the that would be best for both parties if because Kemba, it looks like he's starting to get to a point where he's realizing that he didn't have enough on his team to really compete. And teams are just double teaming him at this point and taking the ball out of his hands. And I scored 30 something the other night, but that was the Timberwolves. They were resting Derrick Rose and others. So I'm kind of leaning towards it. And we'll get more into that as the season ends and we get into the off season. I was going to mention this Kobe Bryant interview with Mike Greenberg on Get Up over this week too, where he was basically asked if he considers himself one of the greatest, and Kobe was like, he didn't really care. I took that to be totally false. Like, I don't believe that.
And I kind of heard him say that. I'm thinking now, you know, as we speak today, you know, I don't think he's all that worried about it. But when he was playing, he wanted to be the best.
That's kind of what he said, too. Sorry.
I don't know if you guys, last night, D'Angelo Russell, of course, knocked off LeBron to get into the playoffs. And I was just thought, you know, I think 2 years ago, I remember them saying D'Angelo Russell is, like, immature and he can't lead a team. Comes back to bite him. LeBron, first time not making the playoffs, and you know, since like 2005 or something like that.
The Nets are in the seventh seed in the East, so, I mean, they're going to get in the playoffs. They're going to probably draw the Raptors, too. So, I mean, at this point, would you rather have D'Angelo Russell or Lonzo Ball?
D'Angelo Russell.
Oh, gosh. Will you stop with Lonzo Ball? No, I know
he's not a bad player. Oh, he's not an all-star.
But he's injured
all
the time.
Yeah, he is injured all the time.
Pain in the, you know, I mean, no. I was a fan of his. Yeah, I mean, you are. I was excited when the Lakers, but now forget it. He won't be in the NBA in 2 years.
He's got bad ankles for wearing his pappy shoes.
Oh, no.
He just lost like $1.5 million. I don't know if you guys read that.
Yeah, we were talking about that before the show. Yeah. The business partner for Big Baller Brand apparently has snuck $1.5 million in cash someplace, and no one knows where it is. So
I saw like some jokes about it on Twitter. Apparently, he had already done like 7 years for fraud.
Yeah.
And they still picked him up.
Yeah.
Like, Lonzo saw that one coming.
Yeah, and Lonzo, apparently, he was interviewed about it. He was like, I didn't know that was there. I'll have to check into that. It's like, really, dude? This dude's handling your money. And you don't know he's in jail for 7 years for fraud? I'm with Johnny O on this. Like, Lonzo, I'm kind of over right now.
Well, you and I are Laker fans.
I know.
Get rid of him.
That's why I'm like, get rid of him. I mean, you got to send him to Charlotte to get Kemba, but I'm cool with that.
I know we got to get to break, but interesting stat here. After February 21st, where LeBron activated his playoff mode, quote unquote, they went 3-12.
Oh, my gosh.
3-12.
They had some injuries. And they played bad. They just played bad. The team gave up on them. Let me hit this one caller that's called in Joey from Thomasville. He wanted to talk about UNC and Duke before we move on to a break. Joey, you're on the line with the Rundown.
Yeah, Dez, as a lifelong Carolina fan, I'm in 100% agreement with you.
Thank you.
As much as I think that we could beat this team,
mm-hmm.
it would just, I agree, it would kill it. I mean, think about the history of the NCAA tournament we've never met.
Right.
So whatever team wins, they're going to have the ultimate bragging rights. Yeah, I don't care if the other team wins 20 games in a row.
Right.
That's right.
The other side's going to say, yeah, but we beat you in the national championship. And it just, like you said, there's always that what if. It's always that buildup of what if it happens. And then if it does, it's just the end of it.
Exactly.
I absolutely think we could beat them. And if you're on the winning side, it would be incredible, but at the same time, like you said, it would just always and forever take something away from the rivalry.
Now, I will say, and thank you for the call, Joey. Thank you for hanging on there. I will say, if they both make it to the Final Four, and I think a lot of us have them in our Final Fours, that's going to make a great Rundown Saturday because we'll have a Rundown Final Four edition that Saturday before they play that night. Now, we'll do the whole show on, you know, Armageddon if they both win, because they're both on opposite sides of the bracket. So the only way they can see each other is a national championship game. But I'm with you, brother, man. I don't want to see this at all. Like, I don't want any parts of that. But it's crazy. The national media is all about this. I think the best matchup would be Carolina and Duke. Everyone wants to see it. It's Zion versus blah, 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 blah. But I don't want to see it. We're going to save this Kobe conversation, because I've been saving a Kobe versus LeBron debate for like half a year, and I was waiting for the offseason to get to it. Because I think Kobe gets the short end of the stick when it comes to who were the greatest players. We say LeBron versus MJ. Kobe Bryant's the closest thing to Michael Jordan we've seen and probably will ever see. I mean, they look identical in some things.
Played just like him.
Yeah,
just.
So we'll get to that in the offseason as well. But as for the Hornets, yeah, we'll see. We'll see what they do. They're 4-6 in their last 10 games. They're on a one-game winning streak, but they got Kyrie Irving tonight on the Sports Hub, so maybe they can make a little run here. We'll keep track of them. Yeah. pick a lane. Coming up, we got to discuss Mike Trout, guys. The Angels signed the outfielder to a 12-year, $430 million extension. Yes. $100 million more than the next largest contract signed by Bryce Harper just a few weeks ago. Is he worth the money? I've got my two baseball guys in here to help me figure this out. Plus, who will be the first $500 million players even playing in the league yet? And who should be the highest paid players in the NBA and NFL? We'll talk about all of that and more next on The Rundown.
Clap your hands and stomp your feet.
Yeah!
Going to be one big party.
Yeah, I'm on.
Back to The Rundown with Desmond Johnson.
Giada's Trattoria restaurant in Kernersville on Main Street. Actually, you know what? That sounds like something great today for lunch. With their signature stone oven, culture of hospitality, and North Carolina's best pizza, Giada's lets you and your family and friends share an authentic Italian experience with a twist. Everything is better by the stone oven at Giada's. I'm going to have to hit that up for dinner tonight.
Ooh, that might be. I need either tonight or tomorrow. It's been like a week or two since I've been there.
that doesn't sound bad for tomorrow for lunch because you got Carolina at 2:45. I bet Duke's probably playing in that later game at 4 or so.
Everybody go get takeout.
Yeah. So let's all jot this up. 26-year-old Angels outfielder Mike Trout signed I have 13 years written on here, but it's really 12. It's a 12-year extension worth $430 million.
$430.
Well, actually, I'm wrong. It's really $426,500,000. Oh. I added an extra $500,000 on there.
I hope that doesn't screw up his budget.
Yeah, he doesn't need that. It eclipses the $330 million deal Bryce Harper signed with the Phillies a week earlier by $100 million. My baseball people in here. Did the Angels overpay for Trout?
No, they did not overpay. They needed to keep him. I hate that he's going to be out west, though. I was kind of hoping he was going to come over here to maybe Philadelphia or somewhere on the East Coast. But he is the best baseball player in the MLB.
That was my next question.
For the past couple of years. Yeah. If anyone deserves it, $430 million, I don't know who deserves it.
It actually is kind of team friendly. He's never going to get like $40 million in a year. He yearly cash after 2019, it's about $35, $36 million per year for the length of the deal.
That's
he is at 26. He's a seven-time All-Star.
Seven times.
Wow.
Two-time MVP.
You know, he's your five-tool player. I mean, he's out. His defense is outstanding, yes. Desmond. He does everything, man.
Full no-trade clause contains no opt-out. So he is going to be with the Angels until the year 2030.
Angels were scared to death that he was going to come east. So
should he give Bryce Harper like a basket or like some wine or something? Because he was talking about...
on the Christmas card list.
Yeah. Because, I mean, Bryce Harper at this point last week was in the public going, yeah, we're going to go after Mike Trout. I'm recruiting him right now. And then next thing you know, all of a sudden this drops in our lap for $430 million. And we're like, what? Why did the Angels pay him so much?
So Harper beats Giancarlo's.
Yeah, Giancarlo's
by what, $5 million or whatever? I guess Giancarlo signed a 325 was Giancarlo's. Harper gets 330 just to, you know, take over the lead. And then $100 million over. Mm. Yes, he deserves it. Mike Trout, I mean, he can run. He steals bases. He does everything, Des. This guy is.
So it's legit.
Absolutely.
I'd love to compare him with, he's Mickey Mantle, man. He does it all.
Wow.
That's a big comparison. Pretty, yeah, but, I mean, he's. I mean, if there's anybody
Willie Mays
in the last couple of decades, certainly that have started their career out at 19 like a Mickey and been a five-tool guy. And, you know, kind of just been this legend of baseball. It's certainly been Trout, who's going to be playing with Ohtani, who was hurt a lot of last year. But I think he's really one of the exciting stories in baseball.
Forgot about
a two-way player. Yeah. So I think he probably likes that protection from the hitting side and the fact that the Angels are a pretty progressive organization in terms of signing international talent and trying to compete and put some pieces around him. So
I'm looking at the largest sports contracts, and amazingly, most of them are in baseball. So if you're thinking that baseball can't pay out this kind of contract, you would be wrong. Mike Trout right now is the largest contract in the history of North American sports, $426 million. Canelo Alvarez is number two. He signed a contract with DAZN, D-A-Z-N, mm-hmm. the streaming service, $365 million, an average of $73 million per year, or about $33 million per fight. Bryce Harper's number three. Juan Carlos Stanton's number four, at 325.
Yeah, 325.
Average about $25 million per year. Same with Bryce. Bryce is about 25 per year. Manny Machado, San Diego's fifth, that. $300 million. Alex Rodriguez is number six and number eight. he signed a $275 million deal with the Yankees. Before that, he had a $252 million deal with the Rangers. Yep. So really over a 20-year period, Alex Rodriguez made $500 million playing baseball. And he didn't even finish that. Oh, he did finish the contract out. Well, no, he didn't. He did. In 2017 is when it ended. So
Next guy, Nolan Arenado, just signed that contract out. He's with Colorado. What's that, 280?
260. How old is he? Is he a younger guy?
He's a young guy. He's probably 26, 27.
Robinson Cano, his contract still runs till 2023.
That was a big one.
$240 million. Miguel Cabrera from the Tigers, $247 million. And Albert Pujols with the Angels, 240. Yep. And I remember when he signed that deal, everyone was like, oh, my gosh. And that was 2012.
So that ends in a couple of years.
Yeah, it's 2021.
When you put this in perspective, when we're talking about, last week's Supermax deals with Kemba for 4 years and $42, $43 million versus paying the best player possibly in the last several decades.
Good point.
Paying them $33 million a year. This is baseball players playing 162 games a year, 80 or 90 or whatever home games, 80-something 80, home
81 82. Home games.
Yeah. And, I mean, what a deal, especially with the number of televised games and they're playing in bigger stadiums. This is a steal in the Los Angeles market. It really
They needed to keep them for that.
We don't even get to an NBA salary until number 12. That's James Harden at $228 million. And then there's still baseball. Joey Votto, David Price, Clayton Kershaw. All these guys making over $200 million. Prince Fielder, who didn't even finish that contract out.
He only played like 1 or 2 years of that contract.
Another guy that ate himself out of a...
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
Max I can't pronounce it. The pitcher for the Nationals.
Scherzer.
Zach Greinke. Russell Westbrook pops up at number 19 at 205, and Steph Curry's right behind him at 201. My question is, who deserves to be the highest paid player in the NFL and NBA?
Good question.
In the NFL and the NBA?
NBA, I would say LeBron James.
Yeah.
LeBron or Steph, and now you got to throw Harden in the thing, right now
Harden is the highest paid. The highest paid NBA player as it stands right now.
He had 61 last night, man.
Harden did?
He scored 61.
Yeah, Harden's balling.
Wow. Yep. I think he might win. Well, it's him or Giannis for MVP probably, I guess, right? Well, no, Paul George is up there too.
George
has been doing his thing. In NBA, I'm trying to think, who should be the highest paid player?
My opinion, Steph Curry.
Yeah. Steph or LeBron, I mean.
Yeah, in the NBA, one of the things you have to look at is marketability outside the actual statistics of basketball.
And that's why Zion's going to be the number one pick.
He's got the name and the brand and the whole package there. So I think that as much as I love LeBron, I go and walk my daughter into school, and the Steph Curry jerseys are, at Sternberger Elementary School are 3-1 over LeBron.
Wow.
So you got a lot of kids wearing Steph jerseys, so I would probably go with Curry from a marketability plus basketball.
That's who you wanted to be, the face of the NBA.
Right.
Yeah, and I think he kind of is. In the NFL, it's a little harder to figure out, I guess. Clearly, it'd probably be a quarterback. Is it Tom Brady?
Not right now.
I think Aaron Rodgers is right now. It's Matt Ryan.
Wait.
Matt Ryan has the biggest
NFL contract. I can't believe
what
we're saying. Okay. No, not right now, Tom Brady. He just won another damn Super Bowl.
I know.
but you don't pay in arrears, though, for production. No. That's what I'm saying.
In arrears? I mean, it happened 2 months ago or 3 months ago.
That's true.
I think we're getting through the window.
All right, so last week I debuted this new segment, 1 Minute with Intern Aaron, where he gets 1 minute to basically tell us the answer to a question that's been bothering me all week. This week, and I prepped him yesterday on this, I said what NBA player deserves to be the highest paid player in the league. I'm going to open it up a little bit for you. NBA or NFL. Ugh. What NBA or NFL player deserves to be the highest paid player in the league in 5 years. If Sori wants to give you a little music so you can do this, give him the buzzer after a minute so they doesn't go over. Are you ready? You good to go? You got this?
You got this, bro.
I'm always ready.
All right, he's always ready. So
let's spit some fire here.
All right, so as soon as you hear the music, pull up.
Oh,
okay.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Can you feel it?
Go for it.
NFL, I'll start with that because that's an easy question. In 5 years, the number one paid player in the NFL will be Patrick Mahomes.
Oh, my.
Period. That is all. NBA,
all.
Coming up in 5 years.
Hold on.
In 5 years, R.J. Barrett will be 23 years of age. Zion Williamson will be 23 years of age. Luka Doncic will be 24 years of age. DeAndre Ayton will be 25 years of age. These are some hard hitters, young up-and-comers in the NBA. I say all that to say, how the hell am I supposed to know who's going to be the highest paid player in the NBA in 5 years? It's ridiculous. I don't know. I haven't the slightest clue who's going to be the highest paid player in the NBA in 5 years. What do you think I am? I need a crystal ball in here or something? This is crazy.
Wait, hold on. You still got some time.
Give him a minute.
You still got time. Go back to Patrick Mahomes because you just left that in our lap and walked away.
Patrick Mahomes is a generational talent, period. He just won an MVP in his first year starting. His contract to come up in about 3 years. He's going to make $200
million. $200 million? That's not very far-fetched. I guess he probably could get
that. I think we need to have a rap battle about sports.
I was
awesome. Hoping that this segment would turn into something
that
golden.
Was entertaining.
Well done. That was well done. Surprised you didn't go with Zion. I mean, you've been all about him all year.
I like Zion. I just, in 5 years, I'm not sure if he's going to be 300 pounds or not.
I'll see.
Agreed. Thank you.
Man.
He's 18. He's going to get bigger.
He's going to get bigger. Yeah. I mean, especially, it depends on what franchise gets their hands on him. If it's the Knicks and James Dolan, I don't feel comfortable thinking that Zion's going to have a long, lengthy career. Not because of anything he did, but just because Dolan might be one of the worst owners in professional sports.
Millionaire food is different than college kid food.
That is true. And you digest it differently, too, after you get past probably how old are you, Sawyer?
I'm 19.
Yeah, once you get around about 23, 24 is when you're going to be at the peak of your athletic abilities as a human being. Once you get past 24, and if you're not, like, working out or running or something – it just starts going downhill.
Before you mortal, man.
I got a dunk before 24.
That's right. Make that a goal.
I'm close. We got to get there.
336-777-1600 is the number to call. We got about 15 minutes left here on the rundown. The biggest contracts in the NFL, I think it's Matt Ryan or Aaron Rodgers. It's Aaron Rodgers. He $33.5 million. Matt Ryan, $30 million. Oh, my gosh. Why are they paying Matt Ryan $30 million? Kirk Cousins, $28 million.
How about that?
At number three. And then Jimmy Garoppolo, 27.5.
Has he even played yet?
He played. How long before he got hurt? Like three, 4 games?
Well, he was like 7-0 at the end of that one season. And then he signed this contract.
Yeah.
And then he got hurt right at the beginning of the season.
Like Kirk Cousins' contract, if I'm not mistaken, it's all guaranteed, isn't it?
Yeah.
Wasn't it like a 3-year, $90 million or something crazy? Kirk Cousins might have played the NFL better than the system, not the actual game, because he got tagged twice by the Redskins and made,
at about $30 million.
Yeah, for both years, and then he signs this right behind it. So in a 5-year stretch, oh my gosh, Kirk Cousins is going to make like, well, they didn't tell me math was going to be required for the show today, so 30, 60, and then
what's he
like
saying?
90.
How do you like that?
Yeah.
How do you?
You like
that?
You like that? So like over 5 years, he's gonna make like $150 million guaranteed as a quarterback, and he's not even a top 10 quarterback in the league. Aaron,
Jimmy Garoppolo made it to week 3 against the Kansas City Chiefs.
Week 3, and now, I mean, we still don't know exactly what the 49ers have, but ugh. I'm still upset about Matt Ryan getting $30 million. Like that doesn't seem right at all. And Cam's got an extension coming up, Cam Newton, in like 2 years. What is he going to get? Because he'll be 29, I think, when that happens. So he's like right there in the peak. Is he going to be getting $30 million? I mean, David Tepper will pay him.
Yeah.
Just got to see how the old arm is going.
Don't let him get hit.
Yeah, don't let him get hit. Let's take a quick break, come back. Odds and ends, our rapid fire round. We'll get 1 minute to debate random topics that's been going on over the past week. Next on The Rundown.
Okay, let's go.
You're listening to The Rundown with Desmond Johnson.
This weekend on the Sports Hub, UNCG versus Lipscomb, second round of the National Invitational Tournament, live from Greensboro, North Carolina, 2 p.m. right here on the Sports Hub. And then after that, a little NBA action. Charlotte Hornets taking on Kyrie Irving and the Boston Celtics tonight at 6 p.m. on the Sports Hub as well. You can get to all of that on our Sports Hub Triad app, or you can stream it live from sportshubtriad.com. Sawyer, let's go ahead and get into odds and ends. Let's set a stop clock for 1 minute. Then in the 1 minute, we'll hear a buzzer sound. Five topics, rapid fire. Let's go.
All right, here we go. Starting off, Wofford's Fletcher McGee broke the all-time three-pointers made in the NCAA in Wofford's first round win over Seton Hall on Thursday. How far can Wofford go in this tournament, and would you draft McGee if you were an NBA GM?
I'd spend a second-round pick on him. His shot's crazy. He doesn't even look at the goal half the time. He just throws it up as soon as he gets the pass. But, yeah, he's the number one three-point shooter. They have Kentucky today at 240. Then they would play either an 11-seed Ohio State or 3-seed Houston in the Sweet 16, and then potentially see either Carolina, Washington, Auburn, or Kansas in the Elite Eight. I think Wofford can get to the Elite Eight.
Well, there you go. If they get by Kentucky, which is going to be very difficult. But who's the next game?
Houston.
Either Houston or Ohio State.
They could beat either one of those.
Yeah, games. They really could.
Today, I'm not sure. But that's to get into the Elite Eight, that's a good possibility.
They've got some serious size mismatches if they play Houston, but I like them to beat Kentucky, lose to Houston. Ooh.
Would you guys draft him?
I would spend a second rounder. Yeah, I wouldn't spend a first round pick on him.
You got to love the shooter.
I mean, now, I think he goes to the G League. He can even expand his game more and end up being like a 10-year guy that just sticks to rosters.
Jimmer Fredette was just picked up.
Jimmer Fredette, that's right. And he was slaughtered. Yeah, so, I mean, I see a place from, especially in today's NBA, it's all three-pointers. Absolutely, I think somebody will draft
Jimmer him. Was averaging 37 in China.
Well, I'm not going to.
All right, next up, are you happy with the moves in the free agency that the Panthers have made?
I am, yeah. They haven't spent a whole lot of money. In the NFL, people and fans get caught up on names a lot, especially as players get older. And you're like, oh, why didn't you sign this guy or that guy? Or why didn't you go after Antonio Brown or Le'Veon Bell? Like, guys we don't even really need. I think that their main concerns were the offensive line, and they've done a lot to fix that. They brought back Taylor Moten, Trey Turner's there. They got the center, Paratus, from Denver, who's the second-rated center in Pro Football Focus to take over for Ryan Khalil. They cut Matt Khalil, which is something that a lot of Panther fans wanted to happen. They've been making a lot of moves. I don't have it in front of me, but defensively they've done some things too. They cut Captain Munnerlyn. They just signed Bruce Irvin this week, which was a good move. They got him, I think, on a one-year deal. He played Atlanta and Seattle. I think they're going to go to a 3-4, so he played in that. That'll help with that as well. They've really set themselves up to go best player available in the draft, which is all I wanted in the first place. And as long as Cam Newton's healthy, and from all I've seen so far, he looks pretty healthy to me. I think Carolina will be okay. Plus, it's an odd year, so usually in an odd number of year, Carolina wins like 11 games and and goes far.
When you say something like that, Josh always gets all over you.
It's true.
What does that mean? He says
it's true. Go look at the record.
Next up, after the first round of play Thursday and Friday, is your Final Four still intact? And how confident are you that it will survive?
I'm going to say mine is still intact.
Mine is too.
And I'm the more that this day goes on, I'm starting to really love my final two, Michigan versus Virginia, and Virginia winning it all. I am so confident on that. Virginia is going to be the national champions this year. And I love Michigan because I love them at the beginning of the year, and they played great at the beginning of the year. They went through a little lull.
Had some injuries.
But they are back.
I just love the way you sound, Johnny O. My final four still is intact. I'm feeling less confident about Michigan State after last night and a little bit less confident about Tennessee in the championship game. But go Michigan, go Vols.
I got Duke, Michigan, Carolina, Virginia in the Final Four. I've got Michigan, Carolina in the national championship game, a repeat of 1993. I feel pretty confident about it. I'll know a lot more about Michigan after today when they play Florida. That is a 5:15 tip-off because I thought Michigan was going to be playing Nevada. So we'll find out about that. Carolina, I feel pretty confident about coming out their region. It's really the bottom half of their region that I'm looking at. But, of our Final Fours
are intact. I'm hoping my Duke Carolina game actually does not come true. Changed my mind on that in the past, 30 minutes.
You're welcome.
All right, next, is the opening 2 days of the NCAA tournament the best event in sports?
the best really event is. In sports? Yeah. I think so.
It is so great. And I love that you said the first 2 days.
Yeah.
God, I mean, I just love it. I mean, you know, everybody's into it. Even people, you know, not even basketball fans mm-hmm. get into it. So,
that's a great point, because like office pools and stuff like that, when you go to the March Madness app, there's a boss button because they're aware that everyone's watching this at work. And I don't even think businesses even try to hide it anymore. It's like everyone just knows that people are taking off or they're going to be watching it at work. It's just a loss of 2 days.
And it's just such a great 2 days. Plus the whole tournament, too. I mean, we've all heard the story, you know, some lady put in a bracket and she ended up winning and she didn't know anything about basketball, you know, so it's just great
stuff. I think Heidi told us yesterday that I don't know if they're current leader now, but a lady she knows is actually leading the brackets on the Sports Hub Triad bracket thing pool right now.
You guys know the Super Bowl exists, right?
Yeah, but I mean, that's not really – with this, you probably have a team in it that you can root for the first 2 days. It's not guaranteed you're going to have your team in the Super Bowl, right?
I think it's better than the Super Bowl.
I like
think it's better
than the Super Bowl. I like the emotional highs and lows of those first 2 days. That's unique to sports.
Just thinking that Virginia was going to lose that game to Gardner-Webb while we were live on the air yesterday, that feeling of just seeing these kids from Gardner-Webb dump threes on the number one one seed, it was great.
All right, quickly, who is the favorite to win the 2019 World Series?
That's you guys.
All right, I'm just going to say it. I mean,
the New York Yankees. Go ahead and say it.
I'm going with my Red Sox. We're hungry for a back-to-back.
Back-to-back.
In our outfield and back to the $430 million, the next almost $500 million man will be Mookie Betts. So I'm going with the Red Sox.
Yep, I like that. I'm gonna go. I'm gonna go with the back to the Astros and then the American League there. But the top five folks are the Red Sox, number one from Vegas odds, Yankees, Astros, Dodgers, Phillies. I think it's been a youth movement in the MLB the last couple of years. Their farm system's loaded. They're gonna be calling up folks. So I'm gonna go with that.
All right. Catch us on iTunes and SoundCloud. Video clips available from Netcast Sports on YouTube or full shows via subscription. Download the Sports Hub app. From Apple or Google Play. Check out the Sports Carolina Monthly Podcast Center. Like I said, weekly podcasts like The Rundown, Four Man Rush, and A Stone's Throw. They're now available in all major podcast formats. We are out. We will see you next Saturday.